Well, again, good morning and welcome to LifePoint Church. We are so glad that you're here and you're spending some time with us today. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, my name is Andrew and I get to serve as the student pastor here at our Lewis Center campus. And I need you to do me a favor real quick. I need you to turn to the person that's next to you and tell them good morning. But you got to say it like you mean it. Like you're actually excited that they're sitting next to you today, all right? Tell them good morning. Come on. Nobody gets left out here. It's good. That's good. There we go. Now we're ready. Now we're good. Man, isn't it awesome seeing all of our LifePoint kids come in and drop off all of these tins? And can you actually help me celebrate all of our LifePoint kids leaders and volunteers and teachers? Can we do that together? If you are in here this morning and you serve in LifePoint Kids, let me just say we are so thankful for you and for the sacrifice that you make, the investment that you're making into the lives of each and every one of our kids as you help us raise up the next generation of missionaries. LifePoint Kids is absolutely, absolutely amazing. And I feel like every year that we do the tins, the line of kids just gets longer and longer and it feels endless. I'm like, dude, there are so many kids that are back there every Sunday. So we're super thankful for all of the volunteers who help make that happen every week. And as you heard Pastor Kyle say just a few minutes ago, today is the last day of this series that we've been in called Wide Open World. We do this series every year just as a chance for us as a church collectively to take a step back and rejoice and be thankful for and be reminded of all of the things that God allows us to be a part of, is allowing us currently as we speak to be a part of all around the world. And we also do this series because we hope it will remind us of the urgency of the mission that God has called us to as believers. This year, throughout this series, we've studied Romans chapter 10 together. So that's what we're going to do again this morning. So if you have maybe a Bible with you or a Bible app on your phone, if you'd love to take it out right now and open it up to Romans chapter 10, you can join me there. Now, we chose Romans 10 for this series because in it, the original writer, Paul, is trying to help us see that salvation is both a divine work and a human work. That evangelism is at the center of divine predestination and human volition. It's there at the intersection. That somehow salvation is cooperation between humans and God. Last week we left off in verse 13 where Paul reminded us that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And now this morning we're going to pick up in verse 14 where we're going to talk about and we're going to see how Paul's going to break down for us the process that leads to salvation. Ultimately, what we're going to see this morning is that all Christians are sent to share the good news so that people can be saved. So let's jump in now to verse 14 and we'll read this together. Here's what it says. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So the big idea that we have for this series is the gospel is why we go. It's the thing that you've heard us say week after week. And here, as we look at these verses, that's kind of what we're seeing. Paul is reverse engineering for us the process that leads to salvation. So for the sake of simplicity this morning, we're just going to walk through this from the end to the beginning. And we're going to start with the point that Paul starts with, which is this. All Christians are sent. All Christians are sent. Now, if you've been around church for any length of time or our church for any length of time, you've probably heard us use the word calling, right? When we talk about calling, specifically as it relates to our lives, we're thinking about the things that you and me feel like that we were created for, right? Or the things that we feel like we are gifted for. Maybe the thing that you are passionate about spending your life doing. which often leads us, you know, to the question of like, you know, what is my calling? Maybe I could say, you know, I feel called to be a student pastor, or you might say I feel called to be a doctor or a teacher, but maybe you don't actually know. You've struggled to narrow down what it is that you're called to do. So let's talk about calling for a second. In the life of a Christian, somebody who's already actively following Jesus, we would break calling down into two parts. The first part of calling is what we're going to call today universal calling. Now, when we think about universal calling, I want you to think back to the very first week of the series, if you were here, when Pastor Dean, he pulled out that video camera and he turned it around on all of us who are in the room together, and he said, as a church, we don't have some missionaries. We are all missionaries. You remember that? Now, what is our mission? Well, our mission is the Great Commission, and it comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. So let me read that for you. It says this, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" So this is the universal calling of all Christians, meaning the calling that applies to all, every single one of us, all of our lives, universally. There are no exceptions. We are to go, there's that word again, go and make disciples. Last summer, my family and I took like a little summer vacation trip to the water park up in Sandusky called Kalahari. And we had heard a ton about Kalahari. Everyone's hyping it up. You gotta go. It's gonna be awesome. And it was awesome, except for about 20 minutes of our trip that were absolutely terrifying. And we will probably never forget. We went, the great first day was awesome. It was great. The second day, it's the four of us. It's me and my wife, Alyssa, and our two sons. And our boys, they wanted to do different things at the park. So I decided I was going to go with our oldest son, and my wife, she's going to go with our youngest son. Now he's, you know, barely five at the time, and so he wants to go do the kiddie slides. And so she's a great mom. She walks him over to the kiddie slides that he wants to do, and she stops here, and he kind of walks up back and forth up the stairs, and she's going to go. She leaves, and she goes to wait for him at the end of the slide, right? She wants to be there to come down and, like, cheer him on and get a video when he gets to the bottom of the slide. The problem is he never went down the slide. What happened is he goes up to the top of the stairs and he's waiting, but like any five-year-old, he gets impatient and he decides that the line is too long. He's not going to wait in the line. So he just walks back down the stairs, and when he gets to the bottom and mom isn't there, he freaks out and he just leaves. Like, he starts walking around this massive water park just looking for mom. Now, she doesn't know that any of this has happened, and so she's standing there at the end of the slide like, oh, there's another, that one's not mine, and that one's not mine, you know, and like, wait a second. A couple more minutes go by, she starts to get worried, so she goes and she walks up to the top of the stairs, and he's not there. And that's when, if you've ever lost a child, which you should not raise your hand and tell us that, but I'll expose myself. If you've ever legitimately lost a child, you know how this feels. Panic. Immediate panic. Of all places, this is the worst place for this to possibly be happening. So she runs down and she's looking around. Maybe he snuck somewhere and she doesn't see him. And every second that goes by that she hasn't found him, terrifying. So she starts going and she's looking at all the different areas of the park, as you can imagine. She doesn't find him, but eventually she finds me. So she comes to me and I can see that she's worried and she tells me what's happening. And now we're both freaking out, right? We are both panicking together. So we split up, we start going and looking, and the tears are flowing. And with every passing minute that we don't find him, it's like the exit in my mind, like, just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, I'm thinking, like, someone may have kidnapped him, like, something might happen. So we get desperate. It's been 10, 12, 15 minutes, and we literally have not seen him anywhere, so we're panicking. So we get so desperate that we start going around to any park staff member that we could find. We are telling anyone who will listen that our son is lost, and they got to help him find him, right? So I'm running over, I'm like, our son is lost, you got to help us find him. Our son is lost, you got to help us find him. Our son is lost, you got to help us find him. And we probably look like crazy people because we're panicking and we're hyperventilating. We're like, you got to help us find him. But after a few more minutes of searching, thankfully, we do find him. He was standing at the edge of the lazy river, and he was just waiting to see if we were going to come around eventually, I guess. And through his own panic and his own tears, right, he's just crying so bad. He can't even breathe. He's just crying, crying. He tells us what had happened. It's a scary situation, as you can imagine. But here's why I tell you that story. Because the universal calling of all Christians is to be so passionate about people who are lost, so passionate about people who are not in a relationship with God, people who haven't found Jesus, so passionate about people who are lost, that we make the overarching goal of our lives to go and tell anyone who will listen. Like, I'm just going to tell anybody who will listen because there are people who are lost that haven't yet found Jesus, right? So the first part of calling that we'll talk about is that's the universal calling. It applies to all of us who are in relationship with Jesus. But there's another part of calling that we'll call our unique calling. Now, when I'm talking about unique calling, I'm specifically just thinking about the ways that you might feel like God is leading you specifically, how God might be leading you uniquely towards the execution of that big universal calling, right? When you say unique calling, you're thinking about like maybe what opportunities God is giving you, or you're thinking about, you know, like a job or a career, a vocation. Maybe it's God is calling you to ministry, whatever the case may be. But maybe you haven't nailed that down yet. You're in here today and you're not really sure what your unique calling is. So I'm going to just show you a resource. We'll put a Venn diagram up on the screen. And I'm showing you this because this has been a helpful way for us to process our own unique calling. So you could take a picture of this and actually fill out this Venn diagram later or process it later if you're still kind of wrestling through that. What is my calling? When we talk about calling, we tend to picture it in these three circles. The first one is personality. When we're writing stuff in the personality circle, typically what we're writing are the answers to this question. How has God wired you? Right? That's the first thing we want to know. How has God wired you? And then you get to the opportunity circle, and there we're thinking, what is God's activity around you? And the third circle is community, and we would ask the question, what are godly people affirming in you? So when we talk about unique calling, we tend to think that at the center of those three circles is where you are going to find your greatest opportunity for gospel conversations, your unique calling. So my prayer for all of us is that God would reveal a unique calling to all of us, and maybe even a vocational ministry, like ministry is a job calling to some of us. If you're in here today and you feel like maybe God is leading you towards ministry, we would love to help you process that. You can reach out to us. You can stop by Next Steps. They would love to help you process what the next steps for you might be in terms of a ministry calling. But for all of us who are in the room right now, it's important that we are able to answer that question, right? What is your calling? Which we tend to think is found at the center of those three things. How has God wired you? What opportunities is he bringing to you? And how are godly people, the godly people in your life, affirming you? Right? So that's the first thing that Paul kind of shows us here, is that all Christians are sent. But what are they sent to do? Well, that's the second point he makes. All Christians are sent to share the good news. This is the next point that he makes. He makes it in verse 14, which says this. And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? The word here for preaching in the original Greek means to proclaim, right? Like a herald. Like, part of our responsibility is to be people that proclaim the story of Jesus, proclaim the gospel to anyone who will listen. So let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm not going to put you on the spot. But I would say, how many of you, if I asked you to share the gospel from the beginning to the end, to share the gospel with the person that's sitting next to you right now, how many of you could do it? Could you share the gospel with the person sitting next to you? Or maybe parents who are in the room today, if I asked your kids to share the gospel with me, could they do it? So I want to try something here for the next maybe 5 minutes or so. You're going to have to go with me here. We'll hope this all works out. But what I want to do is I want to try to give you a practical way that you could share the gospel with someone in your life that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. A practical way for you to do exactly what Paul is talking about here, to share the good news. We call this the three circle method of sharing the gospel. And it goes something like this. So you and I, we live in a world that is characterized by brokenness. Right, just think about that for a second. You don't have to look very far to find examples of brokenness in our world, right? You could think about pain and suffering, people do bad things to other people. You think about death or disease or wars. Like, you don't have to look very far to find examples of brokenness in our world. But there's a problem. See, that's not God's original design. Brokenness is not God's perfect design for us. That was never his intention, that we would live in brokenness. But the way that we've gotten ourselves out of God's perfect design and into brokenness is through what the Bible calls sin. Sin is any time you disobey God, right? Anytime that you and I, with our actions, with our words, with our thoughts, anytime that you and I choose to go our way over living in God's perfect design, sin leads to brokenness. Brokenness leads to everything that you've ever experienced that's wrong with the world. Brokenness leads to people hurting each other. Brokenness ultimately leads to death, which ultimately leads us to eternal separation from God. Because we sin, we are separated from God. We're stuck. But God doesn't want us to stay in our brokenness. So he made a way for us out of our brokenness, and it's through relationship with his son, Jesus. Jesus is the one and only Son of God. And there's three things that we need to know about Jesus. First, that Jesus left heaven and he came to earth. He came down to us. Jesus lived a perfect life. He lived the perfect life that you and I can't live. In every action, every thought, every decision that he ever made, Jesus chose God's perfect design over, like, our own, his own design. Jesus lives the perfect life, but he doesn't stop there. He lives the life that we couldn't live, and then he dies the death that we deserve. On the cross, through the crucifixion, Jesus offers himself up as a sacrifice. He takes the death that we deserve so that we could be forgiven of our sins. But he doesn't stop there. 3 days later, he is resurrected. He is raised to life again, right? It's a thing that we celebrate on Easter. And through his resurrection, Jesus makes a way for us out of brokenness. The problem is, in our world, we try a lot of things on our own to get out of brokenness, right? Maybe to mask the pain of brokenness. We pursue success, you know, as an idol. Like, I'm just going to protect myself against brokenness by giving everything I got and becoming as independent as I can be. We try it through, you know, relationships. I think even sometimes to mask the pain of brokenness or whatever it may look like, we lean into drugs and alcohol. Like, we try a lot of things to get out of brokenness, but they don't work. The only way out of brokenness is through relationship with Jesus. So what does that look like? How do we enter into relationship with Jesus? Well, I'm gonna just give you two words, the words that Jesus gave to us. The first word is turn. We're gonna turn from our sin, and the second word is believe. We're gonna believe that Jesus is who he said he was. We're gonna believe that Jesus is the Son of God who came to earth. He lived the perfect life. He died on a cross for us, the death that he didn't deserve. He died the death that we deserve, and then he was raised to life. We're going to turn from our sin, and we're going to believe in Jesus. That's how we enter into relationship with Jesus. That's how we get out of brokenness. That's how we experience forgiveness. And that's how we begin to pursue God's perfect design. That's how we begin to grow in our relationship with Jesus. But watch this, everybody in the room. But even more than grow, that's how we go. There's that word again. We go back into brokenness, and we make the overarching goal of our lives to do everything we can to help other people who are stuck in brokenness find a way out of brokenness. That's what we do. The question for you this morning is, there are two types of people in the world. There are people who are living in relationship with God, pursuing his design, and there are people who are stuck living in brokenness, people who aren't in a relationship with God. Question for you is, which one of those two people are you? That is the three circle method to sharing the gospel message with someone from the very beginning of the Bible all the way through to the very end. If you'd like to learn how to do exactly that, there's a video that I linked in the app notes today that will teach you how to do exactly what I've shown you here on the screen. Or maybe if you're not a professional artist like me and your stick figures don't look as good as mine do, there's an app that you can download that's called Life on Mission, and it will do all of the drawing for you. You could just hold your phone up and click next, and it draws it all for you, and it'll show you Bible verses and the story and all that. That app is called Life on Mission. So you can learn how to do this, or you could draw it, you could download that app and be able to share the gospel with someone, which is awesome. Or, you know, even for parents of kids in the room today, again, would your child be able to share the gospel? Our LifePoint Kids team has come up with a resource that's even easier than what I put on the screen here for you, and it will help you explain the gospel to your kids, but it'll also give your kids a way to begin to learn how to share the gospel with other people. It looks just like this, and if you're joining us in the room today, you can find it by walking out to the LifePoint Kids resource wall. So as you go back to pick up your kids, it's going to be on the wall on the left-hand side. All practical ways that you can begin to learn how to share the gospel. Now, I mentioned earlier, I get to serve as the student pastor here, and recently we've been celebrating the win of one of our students who got to share the gospel. Her name is Lauren, and I'm going to brag on Lauren for just a second. Lauren is awesome. She just finished her sophomore year of high school, and she's super connected into everything we do here at LifePoint Students. And so she attends her 10th grade girls' life group almost every Sunday night. She's a part of our LifePoint Students worship team. She's going to be going to student camp with us here in a couple of weeks. Like, Lauren is all in. And recently, she was given the opportunity to lead a devotional at her school's FCA. You can see this picture right here on the screen. She was given the opportunity to lead a devotional. And at first, she didn't know what she was going to talk about. So she decided with her parents that she should share the gospel. Like, this would be a great thing for her to talk about. So she learned how to do the three circle method like I just showed you on the TV. She learned exactly how to do that. And there she's leading her FCA. She goes up and she draws this out. She leads them through the exact three circle method that I showed you. And at the end of the day in that classroom, two of the students that are in class with her prayed to begin a relationship with Jesus, prayed to receive Christ as Lauren shared it with them there. Isn't that awesome? That's what it's all about, right? We can all do it because all Christians are sent to share the good news. Now, today, I want to end with what Paul began this series of verses with. All Christians are sent to share the good news so that people can be saved. And as we study this section of Romans, if you look back at it, it's important to remember the larger context of the chapters that we're in. We talked about this in the first week of the series. In this chapters like 7, 8, 9, and 10, in this section, Paul's primary goal as he writes this is to talk about the Jews who have already heard the gospel. They've already heard the story. They've already heard the thing, and they are choosing not to respond to it. They already know what the Jesus movement is all about, and they don't want anything to do with it. In verse 14, Paul reminds us that there is a gap between hearing the good news and believing the good news. In verse 16, he says it to us this way. He says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?'" Point here is rather simple. You and I can't control how people will respond to the gospel. Like, we don't get to choose how people will respond or how they won't respond. Our job is to just be faithful. It's to offer ourselves back to God and say, "God, whenever you give me the opportunity, I'm going to share your story with people," and just so that they have the opportunity so that they could be saved. Now, today, although it's not Paul's primary purpose as he's writing this chapter, I think we are reminded of the people in our city and in our nation and all around the world who have never even gotten a chance to hear the story of Jesus. It's impossible to have an exact number, but our best estimates is that there are somewhere between 2 and 3 billion people that are alive today on our planet that have never even gotten to hear the story of Jesus. Here's the problem with that number. We hear it, but we don't feel the weight of it. So, to quote Joseph Stalin, which is, by the way, not someone who we would regularly quote here if you're joining us for the first time today, but I do believe that it was Stalin who said that the death of one is a tragedy, the death of millions is a statistic, when referring to how easy it can be for us to not feel the weight of such large numbers of people. So I'm going to just say that number again. As we sit in this room today, there are somewhere between 2 and 3 billion people on our planet that have never even gotten the chance to hear the story of Jesus. 2 to 3 billion sons and daughters, moms and dads, aunts, uncles, friends, grandparents, that have never even gotten the chance to hear the story of Jesus. While today it is important that we remember the urgency of going into our local context, of being sent into our families and into our workplaces and into our teams to share the gospel, we also should not lose sight of the greater call of the Great Commission, is that we would be people who would go into all of the world to share the gospel, because we serve a God that desires that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. As a church, it's not just our goal to equip you for ministry in your local context. That is part of our goal. We do want to equip you to live sent in your local context. But it's also part of our goal to give you opportunities to go into the places and spaces all around the world where people have still never even had the chance to hear the story of Jesus. We want to give you opportunities not just to go, we also want to give you opportunities to send, be part of financially supporting the people who will go into those places and spaces to share the gospel. If you are in here today and you feel like maybe God is leading you towards, maybe God is calling you towards being a part of a mission trip, but you're not exactly sure what that would look like for you, maybe you've never been on one before, I'm going to ask that you prayerfully consider joining a team of more than 160 people from right here in our church that are going to go to Puerto Rico together on a trip at the end of next summer. The dates for that are July 25th through the 31st. And our goal through this trip is to do a lot of projects that will create for us opportunities to share the story of Jesus with people who haven't heard it yet. Registration for that trip is actually now live. I put a link to it in your app notes today if you'd like to start the process of registering to go. And maybe you're in here and you don't want to go by yourself. You don't have to. You could invite your life group to go. If you're in a life group, you guys have like a group text or something, just drop that link in the life group and be like, "All right, who's going? Let's go together." Right? Or maybe you could go as a family. Right? Picture the memories 10 years from now as you remember the time that as a family unit you got to go and share the story of Jesus together with people who hadn't heard it yet. Right? Or maybe you invite some friends to go with you. You don't have to go alone. Wouldn't that be awesome? I think there's also some of you, maybe if you have special skills in the area of construction or landscaping, or you're bilingual in Spanish or you're bilingual in sign language, all of those things would help us have even more opportunity to share the gospel with people as we go on this trip. If you have any questions about anything missions related and you're joining us here in the room today, you've got questions about what it would look like to go to Puerto Rico or on any of those other trips, our missions pastor, Kyle Connell, who was on this stage earlier, he's going to be standing outside in the lobby along the missions wall, which is on this side of the lobby, and he would love to answer any questions that you have today before you leave. Or if you are watching online today and you have questions about missions, all you need to do is you need to check out our website, lifeonohio.com, and you can check out the missions page there. We'd love to answer any questions that you have about missions, right? So that's an awesome opportunity. All of those opportunities you saw on the screen are great opportunities for you to go. Today is a special day in the life of our church because today we kick off our annual Wide Open World offering, which is an incredible opportunity for you to help be a part of sending the people who will go. Like Paul said, how will they go if they are not sent? You could be a sender today. We do this Wide Open World offering every year. As a church, we budget on only 51 weeks out of the year because everything given over the course of this week goes directly towards funding our missions efforts over the course of the next year on top of what we already give out of our regular budget. 100% of everything given to LifePoint this week, from today all the way through Saturday, will go directly towards helping fund missions, helping support the people who will be sent, who will go over the course of the year. Our goal here at our Lewis Center campus is to raise $225,000 this week to help fund missions effort. Across all six of our campuses, the goal this year is to raise $466,000 in 1 week to support missions work all over the globe. These are incredible opportunities for you to be a part of what God is doing, not just here in our community, but all around the world. So today, as we wrap this up, I'm gonna ask you to do a couple of things for me. I'm gonna challenge you to pray for three things this week. And if you're super ADHD like me, and you're gonna forget these things by the time you hit the first double door, and you're like, what did he say we were supposed to pray for again? Then this might be a great opportunity for you to pull out your phone and write it down. I'm gonna ask you to pray for three specific things over the course of this next week. The first thing that I'm gonna ask you to pray is this: God, are you calling me to go by participating in a trip over the course of the next week or over the course of the next year? God, are you calling me to send by participating in the WOW offering this week? Or the third thing is, God, are you calling me to do both? Are you calling me to go? Are you calling me to send? Or are you calling me to both go and send? What is it that you want me to do? Now, I gotta level with you a little bit. I feel like a little bit of a fraud up here today talking about missions because growing up, it's kind of funny how this works out. Like, it is crazy that I'm the person who's up here speaking right now. God has quite the sense of humor because growing up, I absolutely hated and was terrified of the idea of missions. No one knew that when they asked me to speak today, which is kind of funny, but growing up, I hated the idea of missions. I don't like flying. I'll be the first to tell you that. Not a fan at all. Also, I'd never been out of the country before. And so like growing up, like not going out of the country, I was terrified of the idea of going out of the country. So I just grew up like absolutely opposed to this. In fact, there was one year, I think I was maybe like 14 years old, and I went to a youth conference with some people from our church. And one of the sessions of the youth conference, the speaker got up and he talked all about missions. Like he showed a video and then he talked about how students could go and students could have all these opportunities. And he got to the end of his message. He said, "Hey, listen, I've been praying that maybe God is going to send some of you." And immediately I was out on that. he's not talking about me. That's definitely not me. So he does this big like preaching moment or this big, prayer moment at the end of the message where he says, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask that everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm just going to ask you to pray right now. God, are you sending me?" Now, let me tell you what I did not do. I did not pray that prayer. No way, not gonna happen. I was completely out on it. In fact, I probably looked holy to the people around me because when it came time to pray, I did pray. I closed my eyes and I bowed my head and here's what I pray. I'm not making this up. True story, here's what I prayed. God, please not me. God, I don't want to do it. Lord, anybody else. In fact, I just started praying for everybody else. I was like, God, please send everybody else except for me. I don't want to go. At one point, I took it to another level, and I started like peeking down the row to the other to remind myself of who was sitting around me. So I was like looking that way and looking that way. I was like, God, please send Joe. Like, Joe would be awesome. God, please send Jonathan. Please send Ella. Like, I was praying that God would send everybody. I was like reverse Hunger Games. Like, I was volunteering other people as tribute. God, anybody but me. I was terrified. Now, 17 years later, I'm the person who's standing on the stage talking to you about missions. God has a sense of humor. So what is it? What happened? Over the last 17 years, like, did God force me to do the thing that I didn't want to do? No, I don't think so. The truth is, I think that the more that I dove into my relationship with God and the more that I began to study God's word, the more that I realized that all Christians are sent. And being sent looks differently for everybody. Ultimately, my goal as a Jesus follower was just to be faithful to whatever it was that God was asking me to do. And at times that's meant being sent as a student pastor to try to reach kids with the gospel in our community. At times it's meant going on short-term mission trips. At times it's meant going above and beyond our giving to try to support people who are going to share the gospel into all the world. Like, it looks differently for everybody, and it's looked different. Ultimately, I realized that my job, as you've heard us say over the years, was to put my yes on the table. Say, God, you show me, you open the door, you show me what you want me to do, you give me the opportunity, and I'm gonna go. So my prayer for all of us this week, myself included, is that God would give us the courage. As we pray, say, God, do you want me to go? Do you want me to send? What is it that you're wanting from me? That God would give all of us the courage to obey, to put our yes on the table. Because ultimately, if we're walking in a relationship with Jesus, here's what it means. It means that all of us are sent to share the good news so that people can be saved. It's time to go. Let's go together. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for the opportunity that you've given us to be here today and spend some time in your word. Thank you that you have called and led people that are the reason that we're walking in relationship with you today. Lord, I'm reminded how easy it would be for us to sit in a nice building and be too comfortable to want to go or to share, but we sit on the shoulders of those who have shared with us. The giants in our faith who have paved a way so that we could hear your story, so that we could walk in relationship with you. And I pray that this week, as we reach out to you, God, as all of us collectively, as individually, as we cry out to you and say, God, do you want me to go? Do you want me to send? Lord, that you would speak to us clearly and that you would give us the courage to obey, that we would be people who would put our yes on the table and not be content to let more people go apart from you without the opportunity to hear your story. Lord, we love you. Thank you for coming and sacrificing so that we could live in relationship with you. Lord, we love you so much. I love you so much. In your name. Amen. Let's respond in worship together.